It is something that we are all active participants in. It is something that the foundation is looking to see how it can best work in this area. And I know that it is something, because he's told me about five times that he is really excited about getting our input into in relation to this. And Mark is going to talk to us about the social media strategy. And I did have some prepared notes, I'm sure, in terms of what I was going to say here. And I think I've probably covered... what I was going to say was, I know what Mark is looking to leverage, basically, from us and our experiences, both personally and with our organisations. And I know at lunchtime we had a little bit of a discussion, and Stephen Taylor was talking about some of the things that have or haven't worked in Deloitte. And I think it's that kind of input. Don't necessarily need to... Well, it will be obvious where it's come from, but that the foundation can leverage from us sitting around the table. So it's really an opportunity to engage with Mark around communications. He's obviously talked to us before about communication strategy as a whole, but now it's, you know, where do we get the information from, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, and what I'm going to suggest, and we haven't talked about it, is that we actually use the tennis table bats quite a lot during this session in terms of, so he can get an idea of where we're all coming from. Okay, go for it.
Okay, thank you for your time. So for those of you that I haven't met, my name is Mark Byatt. I look after external affairs on behalf of the IFRS Foundation. And my colleague here, Ben Latham. Ben is our website manager and is leading on the social media side as well. Here we have Kirstina Reiten, who's our head of communications. So during this discussion, after this discussion over dinner, very interested in your feedback. Social media. So why have we taken up a fair amount of your time today to talk about social media? You may well be asking yourself that question. Several reasons. First of all, we had a session on social media a couple of years ago. It was something that Joanna encouraged us to do, and we got some really good quality feedback from that session. I think at that time we were, if I'm being kind of critical, quite tactical in our thinking about social media, and we've invested quite a considerable amount of time in really beefing up our presence on social media platforms. And we're now at the point where we want to think a little bit more strategically about this and really how we can embed fully social media and all the benefits of social media into our organization, but perhaps more importantly, why we would want to do it, because there is obviously an opportunity cost in doing so, and how well does it fit with what we do as an accounting standard setter. And of course, social media is changing the world. You need to look to the United States and Donald Trump and how social media determines the news agenda. In the United Kingdom, you need to look at how social media campaigns, political campaigns are increasingly fought on social media. And of course, in the business world, social media has a very important presence. As far as accounting is concerned, then again, we really want your feedback on the relevance of social media and how much effort we put into it. What I would say is that in my time here at the IFRS Foundation, I've seen quite a considerable change in where accountants get their news from and how accounting is covered. 9 or 10 years ago, pretty much all of the major newspapers, international newspapers, had dedicated accounting correspondents. Jen Hughes at the Financial Times, Floyd Norris at the New York Times, The Times was covered by Robert Bruce. Those correspondents are no longer there. The accounting columns have pretty much disappeared, and a lot of the trade publications that used to cover accounting have either disappeared, so in Canada, The Bottom Line, they've gone online, or perhaps the number of correspondents covering accounting has really significantly diminished at the same time as the number of accountants has increased. And so one of the questions that we're interested in your perspectives on is, you know, to what extent has social media played a part in changing the way the accounting community gets its news, and how we should then respond. So these are the things that we are particularly interested in. Now, it's important to say what we're presenting to you today is not a strategy. We wanted really to get your feedback, to present to you some ideas, a spectrum of different things that we can do in social media, and what we're really after is your help in calibrating our approach. And so what we want to do is start with a bit of audience participation to warm up the audience in more ways than one. So Ben's going to start with some questions, really just get your feedback on social media.
Thank you, Mark. I want to start with a few questions about your use of social media, as Mark says, and then I'll go into a brief history of our strategy up until now before we move on to some points of interest, some ideas, some discussions which will, we hope, provoke a debate between us. So if, Joanna, you could help us out, keep your eyes peeled, please do just kind of ask any questions at any particular point you want. That's kind of what we want. We don't just want to speak directly to you and not get any feedback. Just going through the, starting with the questions, I'm going to be using the table tennis bat, so just kind of quick fire, just get a representative idea of what you guys are doing, what your organisations are doing. It'll help us with our, it'll give us some feedback, help us with our data about what's going on in the wider world and how people are using social media. So, and the first one is, does your organisation encourage or discourage personal use of social media for work purposes? So if we start with encourage, if everybody could lift their bat if their organisation is positive about the use of social media for work purposes. Interesting. And does your organisation kind of actively discourage the use of social media?
And so just to be clear, what we're talking about here is not that does the organisation have an account, but does the organisation, your employer, encourage you personally to be active on social media for work purposes?
That's interesting. The second question is about you, yourself. Are you personally active on social media for work purposes? So breaking away from the organisation, do you have an account that you use for social media? So if you could, if you do, then please raise your bats.
But for work purposes?
For work purposes, yes, not for social purposes. Okay. And those of you who aren't on social media for work purposes?
So do none of you use LinkedIn? Because, well, isn't LinkedIn for work purposes, full stop?
It's just for keeping in touch with my old friends.
So that's interesting. There's a bit of a swing there. Whilst the majority of organisations here are very positive about the use of social media within the industry, the majority of members here don't use it for promoting themselves or their organisation's work within the same industry. For those of you who are active on social media, I've got three there. If you could raise your bats for LinkedIn being the predominant usage, and Twitter being a predominant usage, and anybody for Facebook? Didn't think so. Okay. Fantastic. Okay, so that's probably slightly in favour of LinkedIn there, but pretty even, which is interesting. Okay, so there are going to be some people for whom this isn't relevant. If you don't use social media, it's slightly less relevant. But for those of you who do, I'm going to rattle through this really quickly. Whether it's on LinkedIn or Twitter, it'd be fantastic to know those of you who just use it for purely kind of reacting to content. So following content from somebody else or liking content from somebody else, if you could raise your bats, that would be great. Just one. And so
two.
I'm a two, okay. Thank you. So does that mean that the rest of you who are active actually author and post your own content as well?
Sometimes.
Sometimes is okay. Okay. And have you done so this year? Yes.
Yeah, okay, positive. And a bit of information for us. How many of you guys follow the IFRS Foundation on LinkedIn, on Twitter? Raise your bats for yes. Yeah, there certainly is. And of those five or six who are following us, have you liked or reposted, tweeted our content this year?
One person.
There's an education possibility here.
You can make immense progress.
We can do, definitely. Thank you. That's really, really interesting.
Well, just to comment, I think, you know, what's fascinating is if you consider that perhaps the Advisory Council is a representative sample of key stakeholders, then to me, the fact that you pretty much all said that your organisations encourage you to use social media for work purposes, but perhaps you're not necessarily doing so, I think by working with us, we can help you, and hopefully you can help us to really find ways of collaborating more effectively on social media. So as Ben said, that is a great opportunity.
Sorry, just a question. Christian?
Yeah, I was just reflecting because I suppose a lot of us received direct emails, whether that is a supplement or to get the information from the ISB.
The direct emails from the Foundation website. It's an interesting point because one of the things I'm actually going to mention very briefly on the next slide is our new website being launched last year is much more social friendly, and the idea we have of following content on our website in order to receive that as a message is quite a social way of managing that content. So whilst it's obviously not a social media platform, it kind of operates in the same way. It is only obviously one-way information, though, rather than two-way conversation that social media should really be about. So whilst it's great to see that you're utilising it, I wouldn't probably use it as a... I wouldn't include it in what we're discussing here today. So very, very briefly, where were we, where are we, and what do we want to do? 2015, 3 years ago when I joined, we were on all the main platforms, but we were just using the platforms as a way of reiterating our news stories. That was just purely one way. We were just saying, here's a news story on our website and here's a link to it from Twitter or from LinkedIn. There was no interaction. We didn't follow anybody. We didn't like any content. We didn't try to engage with people. We didn't offer people any more content than we were producing ourselves. We also discouraged our staff from taking part in any work-based social media activity. The last time we presented to you in 2016, the strategy since then has been much more social friendly, but with a kind of a cautious approach at the heart of everything. We took on board some of your advice and we started control groups for our staff so that they could get involved firstly on LinkedIn and then on Twitter, just to kind of edge into the sphere so we could see what happened when our staff got involved either personally or by retweeting some of the content that the organisation was posting. And that's proved very useful in terms of getting extra engagement, not only just through the day and for news stories, but also for the work we do at conferences. We've, as I mentioned, built and launched a new website, which is much more social friendly, allows people to tweet pages to their Twitter feeds so they can directly send content to their networks. And also, as I mentioned before, the follows and the dashboards are a much more kind of social way of passing the information around. And we've been a bit more proactive in following other organisations now and retweeting, liking other content. We've retweeted content from CPA Canada during a conference last year. We've retweeted content from the Accountancy Europe when they posted up a post which was about our better communications and financial reporting document we released. You know, there's been much more engagement, and the growth of our platforms has reflected the additional work that we've been doing. We've had roughly 40% year-on-year growth in terms of followers, both on LinkedIn and Twitter. I mean, the information is all available. We've now got 18,000 Twitter followers and a combined 23,000 LinkedIn followers for our two company groups, which is fantastic. Gives us a really great base for getting our information out there. But going forwards and really, you know, starting from today, we're asking several questions. We're asking who should be part of our strategy, and by this I mean within our organisation. How can we involve everybody within our organisation to promote what we have to give to our users? What content would be most useful? Where should we be focusing our efforts? We've asked when, how timely can we be, and that's a part of the reputation survey, being more timely, giving people more information about what's going on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And why do we think that social media is an important part of our work? We know that the world is changing and people are demanding information in different ways, so one of our objectives is obviously to meet that demand. But another objective is can we use social media to support our organisational objective of a single set of high-quality, globally accepted accounting standards through greater participation. We believe that there's a real opportunity for social media to help us in this particular area.
So the question really is to what extent we should prioritise social media. As I said beforehand, there is an opportunity cost. We only have a relatively small communications team or a relatively small organisation. So to what extent should we really invest greater effort and resources in social media? So what we've done here is just put together a brief SWOT analysis of the relevance of social media to our work, really to encourage some thinking in this area. In terms of the SWOT, the strength of social media, obviously it's a global audience, or mainly global. Obviously some platforms are not accessible in certain parts of the world, and different platforms are strong there. But in essence, it's a global platform, so it suits a global standard setter. It's a very cost-effective way of getting your message out, and also provides fairly clear, measurable return on investment, so you can see the feedback that your initiatives are getting. It encourages dialogue and the open exchange of ideas. That's a whole premise behind social media. It's the interactivity. That's what the IFRS Foundation is all about, encouraging dialogue and open exchange of ideas, transparency, and has clear visibility of feedback. It's also true that social media has several weaknesses. First of all, I think there is a sensible question about whether the nature of accounting standard setting and the consultations that we undertake are well suited to social media, where information is more concise, snippets, questions, and whether a fairly sophisticated consultation on accounting standards fits well in that environment. The interactive nature of social media, there is an expectation that if someone sends a message, you're going to answer it, and you're going to answer it on a timely basis. We had to be careful about the questions that we answer so that they're not seen as interpretations. And as a relatively small organization, we're not necessarily well set up to answer things on a quick turnaround basis, particularly if you need to make sure that the response that is given is cleared through various channels. Very interesting feedback earlier on about who's actually on social media amongst the advisory council. And so if we put a lot of effort into using social media as a channel and you guys are not looking to social media as your primary source, you know, is that wasted information? So how do we manage the priority of social media versus other opportunities? However, social media does give you a lot of benefits. The opportunities are really to extend awareness and participation to a much wider audience, and look at accounting, young accountants coming through, they're more familiar and more comfortable and more used to looking to social media platforms. And so by us prioritizing further social media, it allows us to extend our reach to different audiences. There's opportunities, I think, to use the nature of social media to really help advisory bodies such as the Advisory Council and working groups and so on to help you to discharge your own responsibilities. So what I mean by that is 2 weeks ago, I think it was, we published the papers for this Advisory Council meeting. If you are following us on social media, it would be great if perhaps to your own followers you sent a quick message saying, Advisory Council papers are in, going to be there in 2 weeks' time. You know, love to hear any feedback that you want me to bring to the table. So that kind of network effect is extremely well suited to social media. It could provide us with a platform to seed online debates on subject matter. So we publish a consultation paper. We could get one of our board members to go onto LinkedIn, take the questions from that consultation paper and say, what do you think? Let's have a discussion about it, and encourage the interactivity through a LinkedIn group or through Twitter or whatever to get some feedback. The other thing with social media is it really does force us to simplify the presentation of a lot of this material. And so we saw the IFRS 17 video just now. You know, putting together that video, which was primarily designed for our website and for social media, forced us to really simplify and condense down what it is our implementation support was all about into the three elements that you saw there. And so that's quite a useful thing to do. And social media, you have to be on there, and as a way of extending your brand and reputation, it's very important. Of course, social media does come with some threats and challenges in terms of internal quality control. How do we make sure that the person responding to comments on Twitter and making comments which are coming from our official channel as the authoritative voice of the IFRS Foundation in social media, how do we make sure we get all of the right approvals in place? If we're encouraging staff, IFRS Foundation staff, for example, to talk about and to post what they're working on, although we can have the appropriate caveats in profiles saying these are not necessarily the views of the foundation, if it is a staff member making those comments, then how do we deal with internal controls? Social media is all about following other people and them following us. And so, for example, how do we maintain our independence if we are following the large accounting firms, individuals? Is following or liking or retweeting content an appropriate thing for an authoritative body such as the IFRS Foundation to do? Some people, some organizations similar to us do exactly that. Others do not. So how should we calibrate our approach? How do we get the balance right between the public interest standard setting work that we do and the need to provide support for our self-financing initiatives, so selling books and access to conferences and so on? How do we deal with multiple languages? And the recurring theme on social media is trolls and adverse comments, and how do we deal with that? So the purpose of this SWOT was really to tease out some of these questions and really get you thinking about this and to seek your feedback.
Mark, is now an appropriate time to actually ask the Council whether they agree with what you've got for your SWOT or any comments on what is there on the basis of their own experience or just thoughts about the foundation? So in your own organisations, if you did a SWOT, would it be, if you may have already have one on this, how would it be the same, or do you agree with what Mark and Ben have come up with in terms of this analysis?
Is there anything, sorry, Joanna, is there anything in there that you think just doesn't need to be in there, that we don't need to be worrying about, not just additional things?
Let me just raise, you've raised as a threat the internal quality control around staff. And if it comes from a staff member, what does that mean? And as much as anything else, I'm linking it, although it is different to the comment that Neely made, that now, having been on the Interpretations Committee, there's always been debate about what does those agenda decisions mean from the Interpretations Committee. They're not, you know, they're not authoritative support, but they are, and now they are in the book. So we have moved to the point where, hey, let's be transparent about everything. We also employ however many staff that we employ, and presumably we employ them because we trust them, and they do all the good work around developing the standards. So why should you suddenly say, when social media is becoming the thing, that, well, we don't trust them, there is an internal control issue around social media? So I'm questioning, and I know that that is an issue for all organisations, or has been raised for all organisations, but I'm wondering whether the time has come where we say, no, that is, and I guess it does come back to some of the things that the people here, their organisations actively encourage them to do that. And I know there were a couple who don't, so I wonder whether anybody has any other comments to challenge what I have said. Surya.
I wouldn't dare challenge you, Joanna, but just to add, in fact, to some of the other comments that were made, the social media does expect an instant response, and that is a reality. And we run a bank. We have multiple channels in which you can raise customer problems. If you write a letter, it takes 2 weeks to get a response. If you write through social media, there is an army out there that will try and respond immediately, because if you're not satisfied, you spread the word around much faster. So that is the reality of different channels and different modes of communication. And I think the ISB has to get used to the fact the last thing you want may not be today, but 10, 15, 20 years later, some influencer wakes up and says, I don't follow the ISB anymore, I follow the FASB, then you might just find the whole world going the other way and making you less relevant. We just saw that with Snapchat valuations last week.
Paul?
Thank you. Like many organisations, we're going through very similar debates, and we have a range of practice across sort of individuals within the FRC, the extent to which they use social media to encourage participation in FRC's work. I think one threat which I don't think you've identified, and I don't think it's insurmountable, but it's this, it's the separation of an individual's profile as a trustee staff member and a most foundation staff member, and their own personal profile that they may tweet in their personal capacity. And I think that's something which needs to be looked at. Maybe you have a sort of separate profile for work-related activity.
Garth?
I'm just wondering, from looking at this, whether you're trying to put everyone into the same box. As someone who is hostile to social media for IFS, I don't want to rely on social media for IFS. And so the issue to me is, people are individuals, they have different approaches. This might be appropriate for some people, it's not appropriate for others. So how do you get a consistent message out to there when people have got different attitudes towards social media?
Do you want to make a comment on that now, or just take that and...
I think it's a very good point. It's not a one-size-fits-all model, and social media is just one stream of our overall communications strategy. Email was talked about beforehand, website's becoming more self-service, so there are multiple channels. I think the point is, for those people that want to engage in social media, how do we maximize the value of it and make sure that we're providing useful content and really embedding it at the heart of our general activities?
And Garth, What I will say as someone of a similar age to you is that actually I think these guys are right to be looking to the future. You and I are not those that they are going to engage with for that much longer, and it's the future that they need to look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to say that we're not developing bespoke content necessarily for social media. There are plenty of other routes of the website and so on, other channels.
We certainly wouldn't be limiting what certain users of different platforms could get. That's certainly not an aim of ours. It would be. It's what we're just trying to do is reach different people through different methods, not give different people different information.
Sybil?
I don't think that the social media might not be the media for communication related to standards work, because that media requires quick replies and hot issues changes in daily basis. Sometimes finalization of a standards take years. They are complex, hot include various sites and measures. So it is hard to manage which part of the standard will become a hot topic and how would be carrying on to be. So it's quite hard to manage if we concentrate on the standard work. But it might be used for consultative or outreach purposes. But again, there is a question of how if too many responses gathered. And it requires a lot of effort to analyze that. Do we have that kind of resources? And also, if people realize afterwards that their tweets might not be analyzed at the end or do not get any impact on the results of the standard. So if we lose our trust from the Twitter, so, yeah, there are lots of questions to be responded. And also, I wonder whether do we have any solid strategy to manage the quality control of the results and responses, considering the threats mentioned?
Thanks, Sybil, for those comments. Henry, we will come on to... the main focus of this is actually the SWOT. So there are some specific questions that we'll come on to in a little bit. But Henry, go for it.
I think it's a good SWOT. You could pick holes and the like of it. But I think the more fundamental question is the debate is happening on social media. Do you want to be part of that debate? Do you want to be aware of what is going on? Or do you want that to bypass you? I guess I will also observe we spent quite a lot of time talking about conferences and we saw the cost and the effort to contact and interact with about 700 people. You have 16,000 followers, and if you tweet to them, they then retweet that or add to it. You know, if you redeployed your money that you spent on conferences, what would your reach be?
Very good point, Henry. As the only person in the room who has retweeted...
So I've retweeted the picture.
Ken.
I retweeted today. I've already retweeted the picture of this conference.
Thanks. It's just a comment when you're looking at the SWOT analysis. It's possibly the way I like to do SWOT analysis is really back to front. I start with the threats. I'm looking at external threats and what's changing externally. And again, I look at the opportunities, then look at the opportunities, what's changing externally. And then you look at the strengths and the weaknesses internally. How strong are you to take advantage of the opportunities? How strong are you to meet the threats? And what are your weaknesses taking advantage of opportunities and meeting threats? And that then gives you a basis, I think, for developing a strategy. And when I look at this SWOT analysis, it's a little bit all over the place. Internal quality control isn't the strength. The question is, how strong is your quality control, how weak is it to respond to the opportunities and threats that exist. And I think perhaps taking that approach to a SWOT analysis might give you something more useful in terms of developing a social media strategy.
I think that's a very good point, Ken, and I think it follows on from Henry's comment, in fact, around, you know, do you want to be, you know, in this or not, or do you want to let it bypass you? So what are the external, you know, that would be absolutely an external threat and opportunity. So I think taking what Ken's, you know, and thinking, does, how will that help to develop the strategy? So this may be, yeah, it's a base SWOT in terms of the internal things, but actually to force the next stage, maybe something to think about. Perhaps leave the SWOT at, is that another question or has that been left up? Yes, go Christian, sorry.
Thank you. I was just wondering whether we should be more sharp as well on what we actually want to obtain on the social media. Is that spreading sort of the news that things is going online? Is it facilitating discussion between on standards, technical issues, or is it actually, for instance, to reach politicians and sort of the more general awareness of the accounting standards as such? And I suppose that brings you different strategies and also, I suppose, explains some of the threats and opportunities that we spoke about, because it seems to be different things you want to achieve then. And are we clear enough on that?
And I think, Christian, you have nicely led on to exactly where Mark wanted to go with the next slide.
Yeah, so absolutely. And so I take on board all the feedback, so thank you for that. The big question is why do we want to put more effort into this? And what we've tried to do here on this slide is really come up with some ideas about answering that. The first is what is the goal? And we see the goal really as twofold. First of all, extending awareness, that's spreading the news, that's connecting to a wide range of different groups. And that awareness is something that we are doing through various communications channels, and social media has to be an important component of that. As you said, the conversation is taking place about IFRS on social media. Do we want to be part of it or not? And then second, and this is where I think it starts to get really interesting, is to what extent can we use social media to extend and expand the conversation, to deepen participation in our work? And these two channels, I mean, you can argue some of this can go in one box or the other, but for the purpose of this presentation, what we are trying to do is just get some ideas on a slide. So to talk through this very briefly, top left, build on our 2016 strategy. So assume that we're just going to carry on providing more social media friendly content. So the posting that has gone out about this conference today, all that kind of thing, the IFRS 17 videos, extending and expanding the number of followers we have on the different platforms, encouraging our staff to be more active on social media for work purposes. And you see this in these control groups that Ben talked about, but we have board members around the table. Daryl, for example, has been active on social media and helping us to spread the message on IFRS 17. Assuming we're going to do all that anyway and we'll just increase the level, the question is, to what extent can we look at other things, which are slightly different? Enhanced organizational support, recruitment for an organization like ours is a key element. So to what extent can we really focus on using social media to drive recruitment? Our alumni program, there's an opportunity to do more there. We don't really connect as well as we should do with our alumni. Can we use social media to do that? For online resources, at the moment, if you want to watch the board meeting, you go to the website, you type in your credentials, and then you've got the video window there. We could stream all that through social platforms, so Facebook, Facebook Live, or Periscope, the Twitter platform. So you just go to our social media feed. You can see all the video meeting of board meetings on live. We can parcel it up and have snippets of conversations, webcasts, all that pushed out via social media. At the moment, if you want to log into our website to access information, you have to register. Again, we could look at using social media credentials for logins. And to what extent should we experiment with different languages? So we did an IFRS quiz a few years back, had about 50,000 people take that quiz. More people took that quiz in Spanish than they did in English. Those are the two languages that we posted the quiz in. So there's things that we can do to extend awareness. And then the participation piece. I was very interested in the conversation we had about education and conferences. To what extent should we use hashtags in conferences? So when our presenters speak at either our conferences or third-party conferences, you create a hashtag and you encourage the audience to comment live during those presentations. To what extent should we carry on those presentations after the conference is finished on social media and carry on the debate on the social media platform? Quizzes are, I think, a fascinating way of looking at knowledge transfer. So we're going to experiment of using quizzes to support knowledge transfer and test knowledge. So, for example, when we publish the conceptual framework at the end of March, we're working on a little mini quiz to publish at the same time. So press release will go out announcing the new conceptual framework, and you'll be able to test your knowledge on that conceptual framework, 30 questions. The platform quiz platform will take 10 questions from that pool of 30, see how you get on. If you get over a certain threshold, you get a little certificate you can post on the social media platform. That sort of thing could be quite interesting. As I mentioned beforehand, public consultation. So when we publish a discussion paper or an exposure draft, we get a board member to start a debate on LinkedIn and encourage feedback in that way. And to what extent can we ask you as members of the advisory council to follow us on these social media platforms, to tweet content when we publish papers? Are you prepared to retweet that information and ask for feedback yourself? If we can do it, improve the model with the advisory council, we could do the same with the ASAF, with all of the consultative groups that we saw on the slide earlier on. So how can we use that kind of network effect where we ask you to become active on social media and to extend the reach of our postings? So these are areas that we're really interested in your feedback on.
I was going to add to that. I wanted to ask a question, kind of as representatives of your organisations, do you think that social media could be used to give you greater ability to more fully represent your organisations? Is it somewhat limited at the moment, or is there an opportunity there for us to work together to give you guys more information before coming to meetings? And the question about the consultative process was raised earlier. Do you have any experience in your organisations of using social media to provoke consultation, to get feedback, and do you think that is a relevant medium for us to be using? These are the questions that we're trying to pose today.
So I think maybe we wrap it up and just seek feedback from you right now. So two fundamental questions. To what extent should social media be a priority for us? And second, to what extent are you prepared to play a part in helping extend our reach?
Comments or questions around that? Or we've been specifically asked questions, and I'm going to put a challenge out to those that do use social media. Okay, not those that have something madly against it, Garth, and don't use it. However, those of us that do and admit that they are not followers of the IFRS, before we turn up here at 8:30 tomorrow morning, we will be followers and we will have retweeted or sent something from LinkedIn rather than retweeted on the IFRS group. And I commit that I will have done that by 8:30 tomorrow morning. Can anybody else put up their bats to say that they will commit to doing that, please? Henry, you've already done it. Okay, so at 8:30 tomorrow morning, we will ask that question. And I'm hoping those are the people that have committed that there will be some others who will feel guilt about not having done it. But actually, seriously, I'm now going to ask the question of those that didn't put up their table tennis bats, why wouldn't you do it? Seriously, I want to know now why you wouldn't do it. So Mark's challenging us, or he's asking us, would we do it? He's talking about the social media strategy for the foundation and asking us, who is really close to the foundation, to assist with that. And 75% of us have said, arguably, we're not prepared to do that. And I think it's important.
I don't want to be terrorized by social media.
All right, well, I will leave it at that. I will say I'm disappointed. However, and perhaps we can pursue the conversation a little over dinner. However, any other comments then around the questions that are on, and I'll come to you in a minute, Linda, Anne, the questions that are on slide seven, and or the others that are on slide five. Anne.
I just wanted to say that, some people don't use social media quite often, but they do things for the publicity of the IFRS Foundation, for example, the EISB Research Forum. We've linked our website of the European Accounting Association of the Accounting Resources Center to the website of the EISB. So, I mean, I think maybe most of us are the email generation, the website generation, and we communicate the message of the organization still through these traditional media, I think. Yeah.
Even me. Any other comments around what's here? Sorry, who...
Go, James. I was just thinking, to what extent are you prepared to play a part? I mean, I'm on social media. I don't have a Twitter account, but I have a LinkedIn account. I'm not very active. And I think there's a level of commitment that's required to make this successful, and I'm just wondering how do we go about that? Because I think it takes time. To build an active social media platform is going to take people's investment and time, etc., for it to be worthwhile. And that's what I'm trying to figure out in my mind. So how much time is it going to take? And what's the payback for the IFRS Foundation in that time?
Perhaps we'll revert to that and come back and because I think that's a very good question and comment. And I certainly am in the comment that I gave before about do I retweet or anything, and it does depend on what time I've got. If I'm sitting in an airport lounge waiting for a plane and I don't have any board papers to read, I might pick up something and then I'll retweet it. But I may go 6 weeks without doing anything. So I'm not active, but I'm, so it is a time commitment thing. Having said that, you're not here to listen to how I do social media. Jake, I think, was next.
Just a couple of points, I think, to add. One to add to something Henry already said, is there debate going on right now on social media about IFRS? Yes. I mean, you go into some LinkedIn groups, there's all sorts of questions and things going on. If you're not part of that, then you're not aware of what's being discussed, what the issues are, and what solutions people are finding for themselves. So I would encourage you to play a part. The other point I would make is some people will want to engage that way. I don't think you can force people that aren't Twitter lovers. It sounded like you weren't, Hans, but you can't force people to engage with social media if that's something they're not keen to do. So you need to find people, I think, in your organisation who enjoy it, who want to partake in that, and let them get on with it.
Henry?
I was just going to add kind of to that second point and to the point just made as well. This is not us trying to demand something of you guys. That's absolutely not what we're trying to do. We're trying to find a way that would encourage you to participate more in what we do, but it obviously has to be of benefit to everybody, because that's the whole point of social media. So if it's something to do with getting greater feedback on the paper so that you can bring more information to these meetings, that might be a possibility.
Henry?
I think I would endorse what Jake was said. I mean, you do have the ability to observe, so you don't have to actually participate in the debate, but it's actually a very good way of gaining the shareholder engagement or stakeholder engagement even, so that you're aware of what is going on. You don't have to participate in that debate. You can choose just to be putting out your own information and observing debates and being participants within it. I reckon I spend less than 5 minutes a day on Twitter, and that is how you build it. It probably takes you 15 minutes on day one to set up, and then less than 5 minutes a day. A minute is enough. You just flick through it. It's not a major time-consuming thing on the list of things that you do in a day if you want to do it. It's
the snowball effect.
The longer you're on it, the more people you follow, hence the more powerful you become. I mean, 19,000 people, that's very powerful. But if you get 10% of those to retweet, you could get pretty big numbers pretty quickly.
Stephen?
I think it's just a reflection, because I was just thinking, do I retweet? I don't tweet, but certainly for LinkedIn, I send IS Plus, which is indirectly sending IFRS things out. But it's just push. So we're only using it for push. And I think that's the big issue for me, is when you go from push to actually two-way communication, you're building a monster. And be very, very careful. The resources and the time, the effort to actually deal with that is extensive. And I would say, look at push and maybe experiment outside of it, but don't commit. Because once you've built it, you can't stop. It's a greedy monster that keeps coming back again and again and again. And, you're saying, 13,000 or 30,000. You probably know how many IS Plus users we have. It's into the millions. And it's a monster. We've looked at doing stuff, and we just have had to go away from it because we can't commit the resources to do that and to do it properly. I think there's a difference between playing at it, and there's a reputational issue about actually going into those two-way communications and not being professional and responsible about it. So I'd just be careful, that's all. I think push is absolutely fine, and I think when that's used, it's a brilliant way of getting things out. But the second step is the real resource-hungry animal, and it just gets worse.
Yep, go.
Yeah, I really agree with what Stephen says. We already use it for push, and we can probably use it more. And that could be very useful and an efficient way to get your material out. But anything that would come close to activities that are governed by our due process, I don't think, such as, debates about the standards. We are working in a highly formalized setting, for all sorts of reasons, and I don't think that social media are useful for that. We could not possibly react to all these to all the sorts of reactions that we got. We would also make the threshold for reactions extremely low, which is perhaps what you want. But then it becomes very easy to just make very informal comments and then expect an answer. I think our work is very precise and formalistic, and we have to make sure that we protect that process, I think.
We've got a few more minutes to 6 o'clock, and Mary and then Javier. So, Mary?
Well, I think Stephen's comments crystallized a lot of kind of sorting of data that was going on in my mind, and maybe identify three categories of potential categories of activity. One is push only, and in some ways that's just a different transmission device. You know, whether you get press releases, sign up for alerts, and then maybe it's, you know, a tweet or something else is a means of communicating outward. There's the other kind of end of the extreme, and Stephen, this is where your caution was about going in and getting engaged in the debate and kind of committing the resources, the time, the thought, and also having the kind of some of the due process issues that Hans was alluding to. But, you know, Henry's challenge to us was there is a debate. Do you want to be part of it? And that takes engaging. So maybe the next step for us is more along the lines of using the people here to try and identify what you think are maybe a relatively small number of important conversations that are taking place today, and not try and get on every forum or in every circle that's having a debate about it, but which do we think are the most important, and start out with just kind of a monitoring role to see what the debate is that's happening on social media to better inform us thinking about what, if anything, more we do than push. Because if you look at those three categories of push, monitor, and then engage, and maybe you're pushing us to get from push to monitor. Is that fair?
Thank you, Mary. Javier.
But I think it does come back to, can we ask you to help us identify what you think are the few most important debates going on that are relevant to us?
Javier?
Okay. I think I want to comment on this two-way communication. Matt and Ben, I've been working for 20 years in a very large financial institution. I'm a user. And we were completely, I would say, forbidden, but completely limited to talk to the media, period. And there is a reason. Everything had to go through the communication department. We were not able to get engaged in any kind of debate, discussion, or anything. So, and I know many colleagues, and they have the same restriction on that sense. And one more point on that, and probably you know anyway, is there's a very large regulator in North America that is very, very restrictive in how you use social media. And that has a very wide tentacles all over. And I think that's one reason also why big institutions, financial institutions around the world are extremely cautious to allow their employees to get into that. And I think many people they might know about who I'm talking about in the States, but that is something that really should be aware of that. One-way communication, pushing, fantastic. I completely support that. As an IFRS advisory council member, I would do it, but be very careful in that sense with the users. It's only a comment.
Okay, I think I'm going to wrap up now, and I think I was a little bit worried that we weren't getting much feedback to Mark and Ben, but I think those last few comments, sorry, not putting down the comments that came before, but those last few comments certainly for me have really helped and like Mary said, crystallised in her mind, that jotting down, I think, that the thoughts there, that the push and experiment, you know, and around things and the monitoring, but be really wary about the two-way, certainly at this stage. But I think one of the earlier comments, and I think, again, that was Henry, if you think about, as he said, conferences, it's 700 people we engage with, you've already got however many, you know, 16,000, 30,000, whatever the number is, you know, if we can extend on that, is that a better buck for our, or better, whatever the expression is, for our money, bang for our money, than actually more into conference. So again, it comes back to those priorities around doing the things. So I think, yes, there are some of us sitting around this table of an age group or demographic who social media is not important to us. However, I don't think anyone has said we don't disagree or we disagree with how you're planning to proceed. And I think that people would encourage the experimentation and the quick wins, but don't commit yourself too much so that you can't pull back, I think is the big message from people's experience here. And I would certainly perhaps, I mean, someone like Henry, who is obviously an active user, and to talk one-on-one with him and see whether he can help the team. So that's my summary, and I will try to do it better when we'll wrap up tomorrow, but I think that's my summary of where we got to at the end of that. You're comfortable with that, Mark? And
yeah, just one final request. So if you are on LinkedIn, if you can follow us, that would be great. We can even create an IFRS Advisory Council group that will appear in your profile for LinkedIn, if that would be of use. And then just keep an eye on our social media feeds, and if you like something, then just let your followers know. Thank you.
Okay, that is going to be our final session for today. We do have drinks effectively right or 1 minute to go at 6 o'clock, just round the corner where we've had coffee.
In the Wakefield room where one of the breakout groups was.
Okay, and then dinner is in there as
and
well.
And dinner is through there as well, yes.
Okay, and that is at 6:30. So if you want a little bit of a break, you don't necessarily want to drink and socialise with people. However, dinner will be served at 6:30 in that room, Wakefield room as well. And other than that, it's dark, so I can't see whether it's snowing. However, we are scheduled to be back here at 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Sorry. Can I just make a plea, please? It's really important that we get your feedback. We are trying to maintain the relevance of these meetings, make them better. If you fill them in while it's fresh in your mind, that I'm sure helps. And when we get to the question on the hotel, we're going to have a red rubber stamp which says the hotel was bleep, bleep, cold. So don't feel you have to write that yourself.
It's all right, it drops out of the lace.